The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. In coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. So as you may have noted, this morning we're celebrating the Feast of the Queenship of Mary. I guess one question, maybe as good pious Catholics, we just kind of take it for granted. Okay, Queenship of Mary, Blessed Mother, Queen of Heaven and Earth, because we grow up hearing that. We pray the Rosary and, you know, the Fifth Glorious Mystery, the crowning of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all that stuff. You could question, where in the world did we get the idea that the Blessed Virgin Mary is queen? Because if you read the Bible and you just see this humble maiden of Nazareth, you're like, okay, is this just some kind of pious development of doctrine and nice warm fuzzies and stuff? And you know, frankly, the Catholic Church has been accused of that by our non-Catholic brethren and sisterin out there. But actually, if you know the Old Testament, actually you will discover that this concept is profoundly biblical. This reading, which again doesn't seem to have anything at all to do with the Blessed Mother being queen, it is the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel announces that your son essentially is going to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and that he will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. You're like, okay, where does that mention her being the queen? Well, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, during the times of the kings, so from Saul onward, I suppose, is the period of the kings, although we normally think of David because Saul got kicked out by God. David was the one whose throne was established forever, for the forever asterisk being through Jesus. From the time of the kings onward, there was this funny phenomenon, okay? The kings tended to be polygamous. They had multiple wives. Kind of reading in between the lines, that was not considered to be a good thing, but it was something God kind of turned a blind eye to as he was developing the hearts of his people. Now, if you are, let's take an extreme case, King Solomon, I think he had up to like 1,000 wives at some point, okay? When you've got multiple wives, who gets to be queen? How do you figure it out? And even if there was a selection process, how do you prevent them from just basically assassinating one another when these kinds of things have happened all throughout history, right? So in order to solve that dilemma, instead of one of the wives of the king being the queen, it was actually the mother. The mother was referred to as the Queen Mother. We've actually heard the same thing referred to in England sometimes, the Queen Mother. Okay, she actually was an officially recognized physician. A king may have multiple wives, multiple spouses, and all kinds of children and whatnot, you know, aspiring to the throne, but he only has one mother. Okay, so the mother became an officially recognized position in the government. So much so that, like, when the Babylonians came and finally, you know, overran Israel and brought them all as prisoners to Babylon, and, you know, it talks about this utter destruction of Israel. Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, all the princes were dragged off, and, you know, the heads of government, and it also mentions the Queen Mother. Why mention her? Well, because what they're trying to portray is all of the people in the government, it's a total destruction here, total disaster for the people of Israel. Even the king and the queen are both dragged off, okay? So, in this context, all of a sudden it makes a lot of sense. We're reading this gospel passage and God is revealing to the Blessed Virgin Mary, your son is going to be the Messiah, the King of Israel, the one in whom God has put all of his promises. And what does that make you? That makes you the Queen Mother, reading between the lines. Now, the Queen Mother had a particular role, because, frankly, the king ruled, okay? Although I think she probably got her way in most, at least, trivial things. You know, if you went to the Queen Mother, and I'm sure she could give you permission to do all kinds of things that were not, like, state policy. But her main function was to intercede. So if you wanted to approach the king and you didn't have a good in, or you wanted to approach the king and you wanted to kind of butter him up ahead of time, how did you do it? You go to the Queen Mother. And again, I don't recall which passages they are. I would have to do my homework a little bit. But there are passages in probably the books of Kings or Chronicles or one of those where it refers to people going to the king's mom and saying, hey, you know, I need to, can you give me a hand here? And that seems to be her officially recognized role, or at least one of them. The same thing is exactly true of us. When Christ, because in the birth of Christ, God was essentially recreating humanity. We refer to Jesus as the new Adam, and strangely enough again, his mom being the new Eve. You'd think Adam and Eve were husband and wife. That one makes sense. Well, when God was kind of recreating, redeeming humanity so as to bring about a new phase in humanity, he did it through Jesus' birth and through his mother, who became the new Eve. So what are the roles then of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Well, just like the Queen Mother of old, we turn to her, she can intercede. If you want to ask God for favors, it's always a good practice to ask the Blessed Mother. So many saints, especially St. Louis de Montfort, you know, great Marian saints have said, look, whenever we're offering up anything that we offer up through the hands of the Blessed Mother, she will present to Jesus in the way that's most pleasing to him. Any prayer or petition that we ask God, it's not like he doesn't want to give it, but he delights in being able to honor his mother. He delights in being able to give us the things that she asks for. So if God set it up this way, he didn't have to, but he chose to. If God set it up this way, then why not take advantage? It's kind of like saying if you have a tax code and if the government gives you some big tax loophole, yeah, you can choose not to take it, but if it's there and it's for the taking and it's honest, you know what? Why not? So today is a day that we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, and let's honor her especially by trusting in her, by letting her do her job, and turning to her with all of those special petitions that we have. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.